Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the Gladiators hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head clash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken their angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
The delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early. Thank you, Mrs. Robinson. Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird. He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild. Intercepted.
Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try.
It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and Chris Gayle, as they fire up.
Well, Chris, as you know, we've been flying without a net. We've had no guests. It's all on us, whether we win or lose. Have we been winning or not?
We're definitely losing because there's been a lot of complaints that we've had no guests.
No guests at all.
Yep.
People have had
they've had enough, Stephen.
Enough of it. Okay. And dare I say, Brendan Cowell, I've got no drum roll. I've got no music. I've got nothing. I just hello.
Hi.
Hello. How many times would you say over the years, or how many years have you been involved with Fire Up?
Oh, man. Far as 10 or 15 years?
At least.
20 years.
At least, I know.
It's probably 20 years.
And in your sort of category of loves in life, rugby league sits at what level between, say, your art, for example, or your craft with acting, your love of writing? Where does it sit in the pantheon of loves?
Well, yeah, I guess you'd have to categorise loves because I love writing and creativity and I love rugby league. I mean, it's probably why I made a show about, you know, them coming together.
Yes.
But I have to keep writing for the mortgage.
Uh-huh.
So I can't just keep rugby leaguing.
No,
you know what I mean?
That's a disruption.
So I need... It's a cynical disruption.
A cynical disruptor.
So I, you know, in my drop zone. So I need to do the creativity for the mortgage.
Yes.
But I think a happy balance. I've realised...
Because Sydney's,
you know,
a tough town.
Sydney's a tough town.
Sydney's a tough town.
Well,
maybe.
I've been in London for 8 years. Have a go at that one. It's dark at 3 p.m. But the great thing about London is you wake up at 8 a.m. and you do a little workout. At 9 a.m. you watch 4 hours of rugby league.
Beautiful.
And because you're always out at night. Whereas in London, you're like 10 till 2 p.m. But I think it's... A lot of people have the Calm app and they do all bushwalks.
Oh, wellness,
my
rugby league,
meditation, because I don't want to watch a show after I've been writing a show all day.
No.
You know, I don't want to read a book after I've been writing a book all day. So me watching men and ball hit, go, hit, works
wonders for you.
That's my meditation.
Yeah, yeah.
I just tune out and watch this ball move.
And tell me about coming together with your loves in life. Obviously writing.
Single at present. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah.
Or writing and footy. Okay. Yeah. A lot of great writers, I'm sure you could name check, that have done just that. They just write about what they love and what they know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who did you mention, Chris?
Well, I think Jane Austen, Bruce Springsteen, Brendan Cowell.
Okay.
Not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
What was it, Jane Austen, dramatic irony?
Mm.
That sounds like something could work its way into the rugby league lexicon with cynical disruptor, doesn't it? Jane Austen's dramatic irony has worked its way in as a rule. But no, I think when I went to write Plum, if that's what you're talking
about. That's what I'm about to get to.
It was to reclaim a passion for writing that had been lost with the kind of often very, very specific and often annoying notes of TV networks in England that I went, oh, God, like I've just lost complete... touch with why I do this thing, and when the pandemic hit, I want to get back to why I write. So I put the two things I love the most in a book to almost discover why the hell I do this thing.
Right, and Plummer's a rugby league, an ex-rugby league player. With
Plum the book, that I've just turned into a series with the ABC.
Yes, yes.
Out later this year or early next year, not
Who's
sure.
Who's starring? Who's in it?
Nepotism knows no bounds. I'm playing Peter the Plum Lum. I asked myself if I was available.
Mr.
I said Lum, yes.
Yes, I'm free.
Came to terms.
I said, do you want some other kind of...
Is there a percentage you've got to pay somebody?
Thug-looking Aussie actor with, you know, a little belly.
We've seen Matt Noble too often.
Yeah, Matt, you know. And I call Matt and I said, do you mind if I play this?
Because he's got that covered, right?
And he goes, as long as I do the bloody voiceover, mate,
that's
I don't
right.
care.
No, he doesn't do voiceover, he narrates.
Yeah. Narrates.
And
no, his
Vegas narration was pretty good, I got to say.
All his narrations are good and he's a loveliest man and he plays Chris Davidson in my
show. Is he
really
the Charles Bronson of Australian television and film?
He plays like the James Hooper Paul Kent in my TV show.
Comic relief.
Oh, does
so
he?
So he's the chief sports writer
who
gets a hold of what's going on for Peter Lum and kind of comes in for the kill.
Is there violence?
There's journalistic violence. Absolutely. And I just felt like you got to have Matt Noble in your footy show.
Yeah, it's like a given.
Or you might get arrested.
Final
you
know?
Winner. By him.
Set the template, the final winner.
But he gives you the authenticity. Rugby league's about authenticity. Yeah. You'll be very easy to tell if you did it wrong.
Yes.
And it's all that no bullshit radar that's in rugby league would go off.
Yeah.
And in saying that, we're starting the next 5 years in Vegas. So, you know, putting Noble in there.
Who's his support, by the way, in Matt Noble? Do we know?
Well, he's got a box at Brookvale.
Yeah, he's a former Manly player.
Is he right? Yeah.
Some connection with the Rabbits at some stage as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He's confused.
He played, didn't he? Couple
seven
of
games.
Games.
Seven games.
Seven games.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's more than you and me.
Yeah. And narrated all of them.
Yeah. I might have mentioned on this show that I actually auditioned for the part of Magic Matt at the invitation of Brennan. Is it true that based on my audition tape, they completely rewrote the part?
Yeah.
Thanks
but
a lot,
you know, you
went from being a basketballer to a jockey or something, was that right?
But you can see that you were a catalyst.
Yeah, it's good.
It's creativity.
It focuses the mind.
Yeah. Fire off. I've got a note here saying the Daily Astonisher Supercoach Tipping Comp. Tell me about that. I know nothing about who wins those things.
Telegraph, Tipping Comp Supercoach, you're in the lead still after the weekend. It's not as good, but you were up there with Vonnie.
I shot out to an unbelievable lead straight away. Let me take you through the first seven rounds, like the Sharks. And
I'm not going to say soft.
I tipped wild in the first round, picking teams like the Dolphins and the Raiders and such, and everyone went. Everyone picked those kind of stalwart teams, and I went, I just had a sense. Yeah. And so I was four or five games ahead and getting messages from, you know, the Brent Reeds and stuff like that going, how are you leading? And I went, look what it says under my name, actor. Look what it says under all your names, expert, journalist, ex-player, the thespians leading the way.
You
should have listened to us. We need more funding, you know. Vonnie, MI5, Vonnie Sampson.
She's always contending. She's very good.
Mate. Yeah. And she's she picked the Storm. I only got five. You've got to get six or seven out of eight.
But
if you want to get real, you've got to get the odd eight and you've got to maintain six or seven. I dropped to five last week, so it hurt me.
Right. Ah, okay. So the slide's starting.
Because I got the first three wrong.
Yeah.
You know, because you had the Eels, I thought, would win.
Yes.
And then the Dolphins thumped the...
The Eels.
The Eels.
Roosters got beaten by the Storm.
And who was the third one?
Would have been the Dragons
you
beating
went
the Warriors.
The Dragons beat the Warriors.
And you know, when you're tipping and the tips go the other way, you spend the next 3 hours after the game going, should have seen that coming. And you walk around the streets actually get a little depressed.
But talking about Vonnie, like with all her sort of male compatriots or colleagues, she's a smiling assassin, isn't she?
Oh, she knows the game, and that's why she's probably, you know, one of the best presenters in Australia.
And like energy.
In Australian sport.
Yeah.
Is that she, everything comes out of her mouth, comes from knowledge and intent, and she's got an angle, and, you know, and she kind of earths the whole Fox Sports thing. And
that's a great phrase.
And
Vonnie Earths, yeah.
And she...
Does she wear shoes, bare feet?
No. She knows her footy.
Yeah, in this post-Freddie world, everyone's wearing shoes. Yeah.
And where everyone else is sniping at me on the DMs about it, she's encouraging,
right.
Which is another tactic.
Would you say she's a lovable Queenslander?
Yeah, if there is such a thing.
Such a thing.
Yeah. But that's Jane Austen's dramatic irony right there.
But if you look at the lineup of that tipping competition, it's like a fire-up reunion. You've got Matty Johns, Michael Carayannis. They've all been on the show. Vossi, Lara Pitt.
Lara Pitt, yes.
And Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, who made a joke about many ordinary Australians have already made that I've tipped South for the 2 points in the bye. And I just think that Albo, is he a little bit off his game right now?
Don't look at me for comments on Prime Minister.
Oh, that's right.
Fire up. Rugby league. And God.
Where is South playing Melbourne? Where's that going on? Because it was always the Warriors on Anzac Day.
There's been a change.
What's the story?
Is it a call? A call?
Ali's will be able to dial that up for
Good
you.
Good point. Because, you know, we'll get to Anzac.
No, it's Amy Park. You know, it's the night game.
Oh, yeah, because Melbourne
dramatically
have got
lit
all their early season.
Big ones.
Because the AFL started late and there's not a lot of games in Melbourne or something. Because I went to a Storm game, Storm Brisbane, 3 weeks ago.
Beautiful
Unbelievable
game.
Experience.
Great game.
At Amy.
I went into the Fiji Airways Lounge. Don't know if they're a sponsor, but they have gold-plated taps in the bathroom.
Fiji.
And I went, this is not rugby league.
No.
This is a shiny golden bathroom. Then you have green leather seats.
What
and
class
you had,
were you in?
It was in this little, and I met Justin and I met Panisi and they introduced me. So this is the man who wrote the book Plum. I'm like, you guys are professional outfit. Like they are.
Yeah, yeah,
because the AFL really understand an event. Yeah. Like the Storm just, it was, what? Like I have absolute distaste for the Storm because the Sharks have had that long-standing tension
as
with
absolute
them.
As I
well I don't know,
we'll have to test that one,
but yeah, geez, they put on a great night and they've got all their home games at the start of the season, so at the end the Storm need to get a lot of wins
now yeah.
They're on the road
so, and probably though that every time they play New Zealand Warriors there seems to be this huge turnout across the Tasman who live there who just give them curry,
yeah, so they want to win
but this, so let's put South in there.
This gold plated taps is what Darcy Byrne's going on about Penrith Stadium with the gold plated urinals while Leichhardt Oval just decays.
Get nothing
where I know that you filmed some of Plum at Leichhardt Oval.
Yeah, we filmed at Amy Stadium in Melbourne HQ for when my son Gavin in the show, Peter Lum's son Gavin, gets poached by the Storm. So the Storm were beautiful. We flew down there and shot there on a Saturday and we're in the boardroom where a lot of dealings would have gone on.
Yes.
And we shot the
second
grand
set of books. Was there another?
Again, safe? I don't talk about anything political.
Could you smell the Cameron Smith sulfur still?
I don't want Rachel Jeremy from News dot whatever quoting my ironic statements.
Can we
anymore?
Say again, no one is listening to this.
Yeah. They all say that to warm you up. Have a gin and tonic and relax, Brendan.
You've already had the sauna.
We're all mates here. No, what were we talking about?
Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. The ground is unbelievable and the whole vibe is unbelievable. We shot there, they opened the doors and just to get that authenticity again and also the stakes of going to the Melbourne Storm, you know, the franchise kind of Manchester United vibe they have down there. We shot Gavin the Harold Matz grand final at Leichhardt Oval with the Wayne Pearce scoreboard in the background and it looks unreal.
Wow.
And I took my mum and my two sisters to that game where the Tigers smashed the Sharks and we were sitting on the corner, you know, up on the edge of the hill and mum and my sister turned around
thanks
and went, thanks a lot. And I went, no, this could be the last time. Yeah. This is the greatest ground to watch rugby league. This is the real fever of suburban rugby league. And they were like, can we go?
It's good on you for transcending.
Yeah.
Well, I had invited Brendan and his mum like back to the corporate area in case the crowd was...
sandwiches, Brendan. It's not like Fiji Airways.
We've got to line up.
A bit difficult leaving just so the crowd dispersed. They said, if you're still here, and he goes, no, we're long gone.
Right.
By the way, Fiji Airways was who everyone flew to Vegas with the exception of the Roosters, who went on the United Climate Control Dreamliner.
That's right.
Hasn't really gone that well for the Roosters as a result of that.
They went up a class, didn't they?
No, they certainly did, yeah.
Dreamliner. I want to go on one of those things. That sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Hey, listen, this is Low of the Tone Mix, shall we? You don't have to answer any questions at all, Brendan, all right? We don't want you to get into trouble, all right?
But I've got my seven publicists on the couch there, so everyone's,
Peter Fitzsimons.
Yeah.
Right. He stepped into the fray recently. Of course, he has been always stepping into the fray, concussion, etc. You must be aware of all
lives
that.
In the fray.
Lives in the fray.
In that's the drop
his
zone.
Drop zone. he was called by James Graham a parasite. And then James did a beautiful enunciation of what it really meant to be a parasite, living like the host on a being, somebody else, contributing nothing. That was his phrase about, his phrase, not ours. About Peter Fitzsimons. It brings into, of course, question that what is the worst term, I suppose, particularly in rugby league circles, about what they call each other. And we've all heard about the weak gutter dog. We've heard of germ.
Yeah.
What else, Chris? Cat. Billy Slater used to be a cat.
Yeah, so if I could just run through the various terms. And in terms of Peter Fitzsimons, he's a host on Concussion, Stadium Policy, and Greg Norman, as far
yes, right.
as I can see. But the terms that are in debate now, and where do they sit relatively? Grub, pest, germ, amoeba, cat, dog, weak gutted dog, pelican, and your particular favourite, Brendan, octopus.
Oh, that...
Why octopus?
Oh, I remember.
It's got the DNA of an octopus.
That's right, the DNA of an octopus.
I was yelling down the phone in Notting Hill at some point in 2016, I think it was.
It was probably
pre-grand final, wasn't it? And I made up a song with my mother. It was the fact that he wasn't human. You know what I mean?
We'd all know that.
Yeah. And where does he go for repairs? So what doctor will look after an octopus?
Well, yeah, 8 tentacles, 200 brains, I think.
I know.
And you can transform into anything.
Anything.
And you're orphaned out there in the water. Who is he?
Forget your lizard people.
Because weak gutted dog really is just one person. That's Ricky, right?
Oh, it's Jamin Salmon, actually.
Salmon.
You know, he's now playing for the Canterbury.
Yeah.
Is he playing for the Canterbury Bankstown weak gutted Bulldogs now? Is that right?
I don't think he's in the big side.
He's in the squad.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
He's in the lineup.
Yeah, he's had a couple of runs. I tell you what, Canterbury Bankstown, they're looking the goods. It's like Gus has finally...
Sorrello's finally come good. And,
yeah. I mean, Gus gets a lot of criticism, but it looks like the Sorrello Gould ticket is starting
to
play
out. That's his own. He lives in it.
And Gus last night, 100% footy, was talking about if that's ruck interference, I'm an astronaut. And wouldn't that be a tremendous result if Gus Gould actually was our Australian representative for the Moon Patrol?
Gee, imagine coming up with a line like that. I'm an astronaut.
They're really publicising Gal and Gould as the kind of Beauty and the Beast of our modern world, aren't they? Of like, tune in, they're going to come into a scuffle. And Paul's sitting there going, yeah, I'll do it, but I need $1 million.
Yeah.
And Gould's doing it like, as H.G. and Roy often say about Phil Gould, he has a bob on each horse, so he's always winning. You know
what I mean?
That's
right. He's on a television rugby league show criticising the media.
Yeah.
You are the media. Yeah. Gal was actually talking about Jamal Fogarty's bicep.
Right.
And he said, I did the bicep in boxing. You don't need the operation. He goes, it looks a little bit weird like now. And I've lost 25% of my strength, but you don't need the operation. And Gus looks away in the camera and goes, Jamal, get the operation.
Absolutely.
Now, tunnel talk, Chris. We've referenced recently that some of the great stuff happens in the tunnel. There's not enough CCTV footage. There's not enough audio. But some of the words, some of the push and shove, some of the drama that goes on in the tunnel happened this weekend, didn't it, between the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs.
Yes.
Cameron Sorrell, led by Gus Gould, coming good.
Yes.
Versus Newcastle, who look like they're coming good. Now they're completely up the shitter, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Brendan, we were talking last week about there needs to be a change in rugby league architecture because tunnels are just toxic, right? Mm. The heat doesn't escape. Suddenly you've got Ricky and Desi going at it. And sure enough, a week later, Peter Goff says to Jack Hetherington for the Knights and Reid Marnie for the Bulldogs, any more of this, even though there's only 4 minutes to go, you're off. There was more of that, and they're off.
Off, right.
And then, of course, Hetherington's waiting for Reid Marnie in the tunnel.
In position.
Fisticuffs up and gives what arguably is a playful shove and the whole world goes into meltdown.
Right.
If we came up with a different architecture, would we be better off?
Well, they're supposed to be separated, aren't they?
Well, it's not even
a tunnel. So you avoid the brawl of Brookvale, what was that called?
Yeah, Battle of Brookvale.
Battle of Brookvale with Adam Blair and Glenn Stewart. You avoid that because you don't send two guys to detention into the, you know,
together.
Jeremy, Ryan, go and sit over there facing each other, you know, after one stabbed the other with a compass. You know what I mean? Like even a relief teacher knows to separate Jeremy and Ryan. Yeah. But the other thing that we could do is as we kind of slide into... curious territory of the AFL, the team, that sport that they play in only certain sections of Melbourne and nowhere else in the world.
You're telling us.
That one that a 10-year-old could invent. Kick it between the sticks, Dad, then point at me.
You know what I mean?
Is that we're shirt grabbing now.
Right.
So maybe like the ice hockey, you go shirt grabs on the field.
Yeah.
Then when you go in the tunnel,
then
up to you.
Up to you.
With the cameras.
You know what I mean? Sponsored by whatever. No Limit, Main Event, all those guys.
Credential insurance.
Because if you like the Battle of Brooklyn.
Nose jobs, plastic surgery, all that sort of thing. You can also trial out. George Rose is there. He's watching.
Gorgeous.
And of course, in case you want to take it further. Yeah. Speaking of tunnels.
No limits.
George Rose. And I'm going to the fight tomorrow night. Courtesy Nikita. Because that guy's got something.
Because he likes to be hit.
He's got something missing, that kid.
Oh, he's good.
You know, he is dangerous
Octopus,
human being.
You think?
He is.
I love him.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I love him.
We talk about the black Russian eyes. They get that little look in their eyes like, okay, you missed
me.
He doesn't care.
When he gets one in the midsection and says like an orgasm or something like that?
Oh, mate, I watched him in Newcastle. I went up there and watched it, and he...
Where's it on, by the way?
I think it's Horden.
Horden.
I think you're DJing afterwards.
I think I might be.
Basement Jacks or something.
Did you hear the song that he came out to on one particular, always hip hop or heavy metal or acrobat or whatever? It was Village People, YMCA.
He did a little jiggle. Mate, he's lethal. And you know, he'd finished an architecture degree in flying colours. His mother was telling me when I was up there.
He went, forget
about the plans.
I just want to be hit.
Oh, yeah, I want to hit.
I'll hurt.
He's got those eyes, mate. I love watching him, so I can't wait till tomorrow night. Go, Nikita. Finish the guy off. And the other thing was, George Rose was playing for Manly, and I was, you know, seven. It was when I used to join the Amber Canoe Club on the schooners. You know what I mean?
The Amber Canoe Club.
You know, the beer. I used to call it the Amber Canoe.
The Amber Canoe.
Get on the Amber Canoe. And you're not in that club anymore. And I was just above the tunnel,
right?
And the Sharks were up. Must have been 2014 or something like. Sharks were up. Killing Manly at halftime, and George Rose had dropped the ball or something.
Cronulla Shark Park.
In the cold and the dark, and I'd yelled down the tunnel some expletives to George Rose. Yeah, well, you know, like that, really. Because I'd met him a few times during the footy show and things like that, and he's just cheekily looked up at me, like taking it on, and then they've come out, thumped. Absolutely thump the Sharks in the second half and give me the little wave.
Gotcha.
That's my only tunnel experience. So we still have that between us. So just watch what you do in the tunnel, because it can circle back.
Don't get too close. What my last question, I suppose, in this segment is, did Tim Tszyu do the wrong thing in Vegas?
What, Tim Tszyu would have won the fight if
he's, of course, he would.
His head didn't.
So should he have then called it and just cancel the fight once he got hit and hurt?
Well, I don't know if he can. He's in there hitting blokes. I mean, someone in the departments.
I blame the second. So you could get out of that within three rounds and it's a no contest.
The department are getting hit.
Mate, if you've got a chunk of your head,
it seemed
and
unusual.
Bleed. Just kept continuously.
Mate, he couldn't see.
Oxygen.
But he was getting in there. I mean, what a fighter. He was getting in there and hitting that bloke who's 11 feet tall.
And couldn't see him.
And he was all over him.
All over him.
He would have won the fight. He nearly won the fight, not being able to see the guy.
I know. How about that?
Yeah. So I think they either should have got some industrial bandage.
Yes.
On his head.
Yeah.
Or just staple guns.
Yeah.
Some piece
of
fabric under his skull.
I mean,
Or just let his brother go in there for a couple of rounds. Take him to the hospital, bring your brother in.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he doesn't get on that well with Kostya, but you think he'd have some Kostya tissue samples. You just pull out of the bag and
some
staple
kind of
on.
Russian staple bandage.
You would think
Yeah, hello.
But that Tszyu family.
What's the little super glue?
You know, in Australia, you know, like we're in America, if those kind of brothers came through, they'd be like the Kelce brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how they're revered now.
Yeah.
One of them so revered, he's dating Taylor Swift. Like, that's what happens. You know what I mean? And Kelce's the most lovable guy in America.
Yes.
And, you know, look at these brothers that we've got. We don't celebrate these dudes enough.
No, totally.
You know what I mean? And go, look what these guys are doing on a global buddy scale.
Yeah.
It's the loneliest place in the world, the ring. They're going to Vegas. They're fighting anyone. They're unbelievable.
Shark Park looks a bit lonely these days. I mean, it looks like there's no one there anymore.
Well, there's Quest Apartments.
And some scaffolding. The trouble is that the Tszyu brothers are achieving on a global stage, and we're more interested in Hetherington v. Marnie in the tunnel at Acorn.
And nothing happened.
I don't think Hetherington didn't really know what he was doing either.
No.
I don't think he came out to go, oh, oh, I'm just being funny. Then he went, no, I actually want to punch that guy in the head. You know, and like he had a change of thought halfway through. You know what I mean?
The great thing, the great thing about Jack Hetherington is one interview, Gustav said, look, he's elite. He could be playing State of Origin, but his brain explosions are doing him in. And apparently Jack Hetherington rang up and thanked Gus for describing him as an Origin player. Doesn't quite get the message.
The brain explosion.
I love brain explosions.
Oh, yeah.
Does that hold in the court of law, Chris?
Yeah, that's a technical term.
It is a technical term. You can get off stuff for that.
It's like slipped in the shower.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, Your Honor, I slipped in the shower.
What would Justice Michael Lee have to say about Parasites? That's what I want to know. Well,
excellent film.
Yes. He's an excellent writer too, isn't he?
This is the Korean filmmaker.
He
won the Oscar.
Yeah, he won the Oscar for Parasite.
I'm talking about that, you know, Justice Michael Lee.
Yeah.
I told you I'm staying out of politics today, mate.
Michael Lee would say...
But he's a great writer. You could get him on board.
I told you, I've got seven publicists here. I'm staying out of politics.
Michael Lee would have said
that... So you left the Lions Den and you did what?
You went back for your hat.
Back again.
And trying to understand Peter Fitzsimons is like trying to gather a cloud of smoke.
Smoke, another one. Back in a minute with Fire Up and Brendan Cowell's special guest. Our only guest this year, or do we have it? Have we had another guest, Chris?
Not yet.
Not yet. This is it, number one.
Number one, primo.
Okay, and they're sitting at number one, the Cronulla Southern Sharks.
No coincidence.
Yeah.
We're flying through the radar, are we? Like, I don't know where we are flying. Because we look to be doing it easily, but I don't even know if we're playing that well. Like, the whole thing worries me. Finucane comes out and retires today. Yeah. Apparently an acoustic album is in the mix. Just covers,
Joni
I guess.
Mitchell covers, isn't
just
it?
Just Ronan Keating covers, or I don't know.
Ed Sheeran
covers. Ed Sheeran covers. covers of Ed Sheeran covers.
Covers of covers. Fantastic.
By the way, I know we're meant to be throwing to a break, but it was revealed this week that Russell Crowe is a co-investor in a spirits company with Ronan Keating, Ed Sheeran, and Jimmy Carr called Muff Liquors.
Muff Liquors.
Again, I'm not That's going a in terrible.
A box. Don't touch start it,
on
that.
Don't start. Russell will be knocking on your door with a lawyer.
Oh, look, I think it's very interesting. And look, Shark Park, it's still electric down there. But hopefully they can get a few more seats.
Yeah, because it looks... Obviously not seated. People aren't... You're not allowed to go to certain areas. It's not finished. Is that right?
It's not finished. Under development. I think it's taken longer than planned.
A little bit.
But geez, if we want more places like decks. Like in the Melbourne Storm, you've got the merchandise store. Yep. And there's a deck where you can drink the beer out the front of the merchandise. So there was a young band playing as you rolled up. There was just it's like a place you want to hang out.
Yeah. What about Allianz? Don't feel the same?
Oh, I love Allianz.
I love Allianz.
I don't understand why, like, Rabideau Sharks is a core. Why are we going out there?
Yeah.
You know, why
and
are we
who,
going...
who could Allianz home as a house? I'm obviously the South Sydney. Roosters.
Dragons, Waratahs, Sharks.
Dragons. Yeah. Okay.
Well, what I mean, what's staring us in the face is we don't want more teams. We want less teams.
Totally.
And if the Titans, who are hopeless, you know...
Forever hopeless.
Joined, you know, maybe with, say, I don't know...
Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
Dolphins. And maybe another hopeless team like the Knights or something. But also you could join the Rabbitohs, the Roosters and the Sharks and become like the Southern Beaches... Chook Shark. Feathered Shark. And just go beach, land, north, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea.
It's a blonde thing.
Yeah, so I really think that we could amalgamate a whole lot of teams.
That's PVL wouldn't have that.
No,
he wants to keep spreading the love.
Yeah, yeah. Are you guys going to Vegas off the back of this podcast?
Yeah, we're in talks.
Back in a moment. Consequences, altered cases, broken noses, altered faces, my ego altered, altered egos, wherever I go, so does me go. Walk through the fields where the flowers are growing, carve out your names on the first tree you see, there are 22 catches when you strike your matches. Get down on your knees in the tunnel of love. Welcome back to Fire Up. Chris Gale, myself, and Brendan Cowell. Mr. Lum, a.k.a. Plum, coming to a screen near you soon?
Yeah, I mean, it's we're just in what they call post-production now. Okay. We filmed for 10 weeks.
Right. All if that was city. Avatar, you'd still be doing it for 10 years, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. and, yeah, so we're hoping to come out towards the end of the year or early next year. It's the one part of, you know, being a producer that you can't control, but... either way, very thrilled about it. Incredible performances, and we're hoping to kind of stimulate some discussion around the topic of concussion and men's mental health and, yes, and rugby yes, league and yes. And communication and family.
And so, you're producer, writer, and actor.
I adapted my novel.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote 4 of the 6 episodes.
Yes.
My production company, Modern Convict Films, is producing with Roadshow.
Modern Convict, yeah.
Modern Convict, yeah. Because I committed crimes here and went to England.
Sent back.
Yeah. And I play the lead, and I was the showrunner, which I think in America means you make a lot of money, and here it means you make a lot of phone calls. Okay. I don't know. Okay. but, yeah, couldn't have been more involved. Don't know if anyone's actually ever done that, is adapted their own book and played the lead. So, you we have to...
Was the author happy with the adaptation? Or?
Yeah, it's come out really well now, and I think I've always been a little... I don't know what the word is... It's a long word starting with I, but about my work, where I'm always like, I was okay, but I'm really proud of this.
Yeah,
you know, I put absolutely everything I've got into this show, so whatever it is, it's me, and
great,
and I'll live and die by that. You know what I mean? And full credit to the other boys.
Full credit. And if you are the first person, you're a disruptor of the highest order.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and like not even cynical.
It's I've got no one to blame but myself.
Who in the Rugby League Cognoscenti did you consult, work with on this show?
Andrew Johns worked with me on the book in terms that he gave me a lot of information about his experiences post-footy. It's a lot about the drop-off from being a hero and then the clapping stops and you're just left with this body and what do you do and struggling for identity and... A lot of men, you know, struggle for to find clarity, and there's a lot of suicide and depression that comes from athletes and, you know, and people in the arts. So I talked to him a lot about that and about seizures and such, and he has a wonderful cameo. So does Mark Spud Carroll, just because he badgered me for one.
And he's big.
And was disappointed with his 2 lines. He's like, yeah, there should have been more lines. Yeah. James Graham, who's probably the pick of the actors.
Which actor?
The pick of the actors.
Pick of the, not surprising.
Probably could go lock, stock, kind of angle,
that way.
If he wanted. And he was also really generous in the scripting process. We zoomed with him a bit.
Okay.
And he, you know, because he has an ever-changing, Peter Fitzsimons, ever-evolving attitude towards this issue. And, he's kind of open to it. We had the great Paul Gallen, because if you're going to shoot in the Southern Shire, you've got to go through the sheriff.
He's a little man now, though.
What's that?
Has he lost bulk, lost weight?
Oh, mate.
He's got plenty of spare, has he?
If he was in this room, you'd be bloody aware of it. He's a unit, mate. He still trains so hard. You have a look at that Justin Lang. He's on those hills. And
yes.
I'm sure he could walk into a ring any day of the week.
So, Stephen, Brennan, we got a new segment.
Yes. Get on the line in your time. I'm always ready to make you smile.
Did he lend weight? That's the rule. Did he lend weight? Yes, he did. No try. It's not that difficult, you know, but they're making it really difficult at the moment.
Keeping it simple for those people that just don't understand is Robbo. Robbo sees clarity. You just can't lean on someone and score a try. Can't do it.
So the words of Robbo, the segment, of course, is dial in, because they are the words that supposedly galvanise the Roosters into action. But I was out at Allianz last Thursday night and they were anything
but
action.
Work.
I think the technical term was a bludger of a game.
Right.
And Robbo, again, post-match, is complaining about a decision where Big Nelson, who Stephen absolutely adores and thinks should be rubbed out of the game for being too big.
It's illegal, surely. Look at the size of him.
He's got like 2 or 3 torsos.
Exactly. Can't be fair.
And he might have got himself involved as the Storms were trying to get over the line. Yeah. And Robbo says it's very simple. That's lending weight. It's illegal. Well, hard-running Graham Annesley said it's a matter of discretion. And the crankiness of Robbo on so many topics is permeating Roosters football right now. Mm.
Right. Is he dialed in?
Well, that's right. Is he taking note of his wellness guru coach, whoever he may be?
Well, we've always been critical of the Melbourne Storm. You now are clearly in love with the whole joint, Brendan, based on your experience.
Based on those taps.
Yeah, right. But, like, they were a light of heart. Now, Nelson's gave an interview, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I wouldn't have been lending weight in a situation like that. I would have just been a love tap. Cameron Munster was blowing kisses to the crowd, right? Whereas the Roosters... At the end of the game, the toxicity that Melbourne normally brings seems to have emanated out of the anxiety of Robbo.
Mm.
And I saw distressing scenes at the end.
Look,
of the game.
And you brought this up about men's mental health, etc. So maybe we should take his laces away and his belt. Is Robbo should be under care and watch. He seems to be working overtime at the moment and not enough people around him to look after him.
Well, it's a question of that, what do they call, like after we Cronulla won in 2016... and then in 17-18 when we, you know, got rid of the Dugans and I think Barber went and Ramian came in, Bird left and Chad and stuff.
Yeah.
People start talking about the window.
The window?
You know, the premiership window.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Opens and shuts.
You're around that top 4, 5, 6 area.
Yeah.
You never know. The bounce of the ball, you could end up winning the comp.
Yeah.
Because you're in a premiership window. Like maybe the Eels one's closing. And maybe Manly.
I would say.
You know what I mean? Like, so the Sharks are probably starting to open a premiership window now. But
the
window, I think, for the Roosters, and he's been there with some shit hot players under that sombrero.
And
very good players.
Yeah.
I mean, Radley, probably the toughest man.
Yeah. Red Miss Radley.
In rugby league.
Yeah.
The toughest guy.
Yeah.
You know, the Tupou's unbelievable winger, the Australian fullback and captain.
And Manu compared to Sonny Bill recently?
Manu, and then you add the Crichtons, you got Jarawira Hargraves, who's just a threat.
The block of cheese.
Block of cheese.
Yeah.
And the Tupanuas, you know, unsung heroes.
But they're not winning.
And they haven't won. And they made a good point last night that, you know, Robbo's had the same set up as, say, a Brad Arthur. Brad Arthur's copping it, Robbo's cruising through.
Yeah.
That's what's hitting him now, is that he's always kind of gone, it'll come good. But some of those players are getting old. They're pushing on next year. And you can see he's under a little bit of stress. And I know what to do.
You do?
It's that Sam Walker kid.
Yeah.
You just got to give...
Give him rein.
Just give him the whole bloody team.
Give him the keys.
Right.
He's a freak show. Let him dictate how they play.
Right.
So I think he's always questioning him. He doesn't quite like the way he plays. Oh, he's a bit of a loose unit.
Yeah.
If you've got a halfback, there's no halfbacks.
Yes.
I think Keary, you know what I mean, use him if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give Sam Walker the side. Now I'd put him 5'8". Yeah.
Like Adam Reynolds.
Joey Manu and 5'8".
Righto.
Just get him the ball.
Got to touch it more.
Yeah. Touch it all the time. Tedesco fullback, he's still the best.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then just see what happens with those two. Yeah. Change the whole game and go... And actually take a little back seat like Gene Hackman in Hoosiers. You know what I mean? Go, you guys know what to do. Simple game. You know, imagine when you've got those players, I'd made sure they had a good night's sleep.
These comments, actually, this will get reported because that's incredibly clear advice for the Sydney Roosters.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think the thing about Sam Walker, obviously the Walker brothers, what they did up with the Ipswich Jets, they just played freely, innovation.
Yeah, yeah.
All those innovations that we now regard as standard, like short dropouts and whatever. I think the issue for Robbo is hubris. The applause is dying down.
He talks too much.
Yes, he speaks French, but when
he bedazzles you with his talk.
But when he
gives
the speeches about I've been at Mount Kilimanjaro, I've been to base camp at Everest, Sam Walker's not interested.
Frontline,
and that's
France.
Why he's not getting the rein that he deserves.
Billy Slater does a fair bit of bush poetry as well, and that seems to bloody work.
Hey, have you seen his frown? You notice he's got a permanent frown now, Billy.
Is that like?
Very serious young man.
What happens to politicians? Like he's got a serious job, doesn't he?
He does.
He's got a serious job.
Don't muck around with me.
I sat behind him in the commentary box. He's still got, are they lats?
Wedge.
Yeah.
Those lats like he is.
You know what? He's excited by the opportunity.
He's sculpted.
You lose Fasua Malawi. You lose Kalen Ponga. you lose Tom Flegler and you still win Origin, that's what he wants. Oh. He really wants. With Van Kylenberg and the Imperfects and Ubuntu next to him, it's a story.
And this year, there's no Tino, there's no Flegler, there's no Ponga, and you're still worried.
Oh, boy, you're panicking. You're panicking.
Confused by the CBA? Uncertain about the RLPA? Then F you and tune in to Fire Up.
Right, let us talk about, I think there's a little discrepancy with sponsorship with the Dolphins. Now, I'm not a fan of a notion that a team can come in and within a year or two feel like they can win the comp. I think you've got to earn it. 30 years minimum. You know, it's just not right.
Well, you're talking about the Cronulla Sharks.
I'm talking about Melbourne, you know, originally. And now we've got the Dolphins with this massive team that's, you know, topping the, you know, top four, top eight always, you know. Not right to me.
You don't like it?
Don't like it.
Yeah, well...
Earn your stripes.
No, I'd have no problem with them winning the comp. Just got to get rid of the Titans, I think. Just get rid of the Titans.
The Titans.
Get rid of them. No, there's one guy there.
Why is that?
There's one Titans fan that's weeping and there's no one else. It's never worked.
You're talking about how Melbourne's the centre of sport in Australia. You know, it's because they've got nothing else to do, right?
Have you ever been to the Gold Coast? One thing you're not thinking about on the Gold Coast is rugby league.
Rugby league. 100%.
You know what I mean?
What are you thinking of?
It's the one town that you're not in.
You're drugs and...
You're never in the Gold Coast. You're on the Gold Coast. You are on it.
You're either thinking of scoring or which funeral plan am I going to buy?
Yeah, you're not thinking of the working class game.
I went last year to the overtime thriller between the Dolphins and the Titans, and I caught the plane up with referee Joey Atkins, and I said, if there's an offside in Golden Point, you blow that whistle, Joey, which he listened to me because he did, Titans lost.
Yeah, right.
And like the problem they've got is second team, like everyone's from somewhere else, but they're not rugby league people, so it's a bit of a freak show and circus show. There's t-shirt cannons and all sorts of distractions because they don't own the code.
Mate, if Greg Bird culture. And Scotty Prince couldn't make it work, nobody would. The Dolphins are stimulated in a different way, Stephen. That's
totally,
what you're getting
to. And you've got to remember, they are rugby league bloodstock. You know, apparently they've been running around as the Redcliffe, you know. Hello, you're not the Dolphins, you're Redcliffe.
Arthur
Beaton,
thank
you. You're East Brisbane, you know, you're part of Brisbane. There's, own up to it.
Well, you're not East Brisbane, but still.
You're not?
No. Brisbane is something different, but they're going to be the Firebirds.
Hang on, aren't they the east of where Brisbane is? Aren't they the
east
coast?
East of Brisbane,
east
sure.
East of Brisbane, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
I've got an affinity to Brisbane East because they play in the Tigers' colours. Of course, they are the Tigers.
You know, these Dolphins, they got a sponsorship called Alternaleaf. Now, I think they had the ceremony. They opened up with the, you know, here's your new jersey, Alternative, and Cheech and Chong turned up.
Legalize it.
Legalize it. Bob Marley's grandson turned up, for God's sake. You know, he had a packet full as well. And then, of course, the Furry Freak Brothers turned up just to add a little bit of spice to the event, you know.
The original Whalers are touring next month, and they are being emceed by Wayne Bennett. Right, introduced.
Now, has Wayne been on the gear since the 70s?
Well, Wayne doesn't drink. Like, that's what they always say. Wayne will coach till he's in the coffin.
In the box.
Because he doesn't drink and doesn't play golf, which apparently the only two other things you can do in life other than rugby league. What do you do after footy? Drink or golf?
Yeah, that's right. But medicinal cannabis is legal.
Is it? Yeah. Again, I'm not getting involved in politics. But,
boy, you have been burned. You have been really burned. One simple comment on SEN, and again, who's listening, according to Buzz Rothfield?
It makes a little bit of sense, and he loves going to that grapper on Norton Street because he's up for and quite hungry.
Yeah.
Around 8
nothing
o'clock.
Nothing better than Italian food when you got the munchies.
There's nothing because you can finish with a little gelato, a little sorbet, or one of those pencil-like chocolates that swirl.
Yeah, what are they?
Those sticks.
Yes.
One of the biscotti. And, you can see he kicks back, Wayne. He likes dancing.
Yep.
He likes dancing in the dressing rooms. And he likes his funny quotes.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know if you read the Andrew Webster book, but The Wolf That You Feed.
Yes.
So he's clearly tripping out on clearly some hectic feeding. Philosophy now.
So for a long time we thought those monosyllabic press conferences was him being difficult. He was just totally hammered. Yeah, he was wasted.
I remember seeing him at Nimbin, at the Aquarius Festival back in 73, you know, youngster. But, you know, and then you got poor old Desi. Right, it walks into the goal.
It could do with some.
It could do with some. And a couple of laughs, for God's sake.
What have they got for Motors?
And trip to the barber.
He's driving an Audi, though.
Apparently, Desi's got a company, right? And it's called, Desselglop.
Esselglop.
Esselglop. Doesn't that sound like Gwyneth Paltrow's Gloop?
Yeah, right.
I don't know what he's up to.
He's off to the wellness industry.
Is that what it is?
The wellness industry, in our view, Brendan, seems to have had a huge incursion in rugby league. Like, you've got to have a relationship with a wellness guru. You've got to be thinking outside the box.
You've got to take a photo of yourself in an ice bath.
Every day. Yeah.
And tag it and know, you know, Lachlan that set it up in Guymere, and I'm here with Lachlan in the ice bath.
Yeah, right.
3 minutes. Oh, I love it. I think that's what they do in the day.
Yeah.
Because the only other thing you can do is drink and play golf.
Right.
So, you know, wellness is coming into it. But, I don't drink anymore. I just had an infrared sauna. Yeah. And I was in there thinking, this probably is my bender. You know what I mean? Sweating sheets, naked in Surrey Hills, on a towel that other men have been on.
Yes,
just, you know, with some classical music, and that's me thinking, there
he,
going.
There this he was is, walking up the street. People were sidestepping.
Yeah, that's right. This is what I used to do on King Street in the early 2000s.
4 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, nothing good happens.
We should do an episode from the
now. Yeah. I tell you, a man who's not going to get on the funny stuff and the wellness stuff is Ricky Stewart.
That's for sure.
Mm. But he's done a commercial. Have you heard this?
No.
McDonald's. A lot of footy players have done it.
He says, let's go get a soft serve.
Correct.
Yeah.
So he's making a pastiche of him at the press conference. No, I thought we did good. Let's go get a soft serve.
Oh, right? Is that what it is?
And we've already had Ricky point out this year in relation to the discussion around stadium stench, otherwise known as GIO Stadium in Canberra, that he quoted, "I'm not a politician." He then went on to explain.
No, I know some.
He then went on to explain that Canberra is the national capital of Australia, which is very helpful. Well, in relation to this issue where he's been pushed, well, Ricky, you're doing a little bit of humour on the... on the ads there, he goes, "I don't see myself as an entertainer."
But he could.
Yeah.
You know, him blowing up Deluxe, kicking a cat, whatever it is, it's funny stuff, right?
Well, it's funny stuff because, you could...
Are we making fun of him?
Like, you could put him in the tunnel segment or something just called Baiting Ricky. And, like, he comes in calm and then four or five people just throw some topics at him and everyone guesses how long it'll take till he bites it.
Remember that TV show, Getting Punked?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
But you just bait people, just bait him, and it's Ricky's. Ricky tries to not rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
That's great entertainment.
Yeah. Dare I say, we've got a Facebook group called Blowing Up Deluxe. That could be the name of the show.
Yeah.
He went on to say, "I am passionate about the club. It's the coaches and the guys who are involved at the coalface. For everyone else, it may be theatre and fun, but it's not theatre for us at the coalface."
No, not for Ricky.
Can you have theatre at the coalface?
Well, I've always said it, and I said it to Matty Johns as well, that all those commentators always saying it's the theatre of the game, it's true theatre, and I said, I've never seen any of you at the theatre.
Exactly.
What, and what about the old soap opera?
I've done 27 plays in New South Wales. I haven't seen any bastards at any of them. What'd you go to Wicked? Where's this theatre of the great theatre of the game coming from?
I reckon a lot of them would have gone to Anne Juliet, though. Yeah. I would have thought that's right up there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
We have talked about that in the past and Five, though. What roles, who could be the new Laurence Olivier, you know? Who could be
James Graham.
Who's the best actor? I thought James Graham's really good. Trbojevic has got a no bullshit delivery. Tom could do anything.
Yes.
I mean, apparently he got quite a high ATAR.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think both brothers
we
got a high ATAR.
We haven't looked into that here. Yeah.
Well, hopefully all four of them, you know, because, you know, we've got three brothers now on the field and one to come.
Surely
another one.
There's a fourth Trbojevic, yeah.
Wow. Oh, kind of like a Hemsworthian type
scenario. I think he's a video gamer or something like that.
Luttrell's got a certain persona.
Yeah.
He likes to act up a little bit.
Yeah, he likes the spotlight.
Loves the spotlight.
He shines and he's charismatic and, on his day, the most exciting football player playing.
Yes, on his day. That's the quote.
Well, you know, hopefully he'll come back and, you know, I always did despise the Roosters, and then when Luttrell started playing with the Roosters, I started going to Roosters games and found myself there going, why am I here?
Yeah.
I'd take girls there and then go for a fancy dinner in Surrey Hills after, because that's modern man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Bit of sport, then a red wine fancy, risotto and
stuff.
In
that sort of evolutionary phase from Cro-Magnon upwards.
Yeah, exactly. And I realised when I was there, I'm like, I'm here to watch Luttrell Mitchell. I was there to watch Luttrell Mitchell, who'd get six touches in a game.
Bang.
And three of them you go, oh, I've never seen that before.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, how did he do that?
Yeah.
Which he did in the grand final against Canberra, didn't he? You know, and Joey labelled him the Ferrari in the garage.
Yeah, that's correct. Like,
I'd still put him in my Origin team at the number three jumper. I don't care.
In the centres. Yeah. No doubt about it.
I just don't care. It's the same with Trbojevic. Like, Is he available? Put him in the blue jumper.
Get him.
Because you know what? Queensland will be hoping that doesn't happen, and that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you pick the Crichtons and Stags and Barrett and Best, they'll go, oh, okay, he's a good player.
Yeah.
If you put the Trell in, they'll go, oh, shit.
Right.
Game changer.
Oh, no.
X factor.
We'll come back and we'll talk about Zach Lomax and whether he deserves the spot or not.
I told you I don't want to get into politics.
Desi came to Rick outside the dressing room door, and Rick said, Michael, lock you. Desi said the referee's performance was poor, and Rick said, Michael, lock you, cause your team's was too. Ricky says Desi Hasler was on another planet. Isn't that the truth? And though Rick and Des are friends, the conversation ends when Rick says, Michael, lock you. Now Desi said he thought that Chevy started outside, and that's how he got there. To make the charge down on the kick from foreign. And Desi thought that wasn't fair. He said they were crew by a lopsided penalty count.
By three in penalties, 8-1 in 6 years.
Ooh, Desi wants to hold them to account. He's waiting for a call from the hard running Graham Annesley. Then Desi went to Rick outside the dressing room door, and Rick said, Michael, look you. Rick was taking no nonsense. He said the Titans planned to cheat by being offside and holding the ball down, cause that's the only way they could compete. He said it was old school hold down wrestling.
5-3 in penalties, 8-1 in 6
against. Ooh, Casey should have used the pin. Turns out the penalty count should have been 30-10. Desi came to Rick outside the dressing room door, and Rick said, Michael, lock you. Desi said the referee's performance was poor, and Rick said, Michael, lock you, cause your team was too. Ricky said Desi Hasler was on another planet. Ain't that the truth? And though Rick and Desi friends, the conversation ends when Rick says, Michael, lock you.
Stephen?
Yes.
Brendan, a little bit of housekeeping.
Yeah.
FireUp's got into the corporate sponsorship business now.
And I did not know that.
No. Well, it involves money. That's why I didn't talk to you about it. We're sponsoring the Irish Exiles, who are playing Oztag. And they're set to play the Australian Invitational Challenge this August at Coffs Harbour. They're always looking for Irish heritage players. I know that Pat Richards' son has pulled on the jersey for the Exiles.
Right.
Big unit, apparently. And they're very grateful to us. And Strider Lager, Stephen.
Yes.
They're looking for people to come on board, so have a look for them online. And they're looking for places where they can train. And the other exciting news is Steve Mascord. You'd be familiar with Steve's work. Brendan, he's set up a 24/7 internet rugby league radio station. rugbyleague.com. So you thought you didn't get enough.
I ran into him in London.
Yeah, right.
That'd be right.
That's where he is.
Yeah. He's a man.
It was Origin to Damien Irvine.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. Very dear friend of mine who was the chairman of the Sharks, who I actually watched a grand final with in my living room in Notting Hill.
Well documented.
And I went to, that's right, and went to, I think it was Origin 2 at the One Ton pub in Fitzrovia at like 10 in the morning. And I went there with my cousin.
No.
To meet Damien, and Steve Mascord was there. We had a burger and a zero lager and a chat and legend.
Well, like Skyhooks, You Just Like Me Because I'm Good in Bed was the first song played on Double J Radio in 1975. Yeah. Fire Up was the first piece of content broadcast on rugbyleague.com.
So it should be.
We go out 4 times a week, so we want to say hello. As for Damien Irvine, we were both over in the UK a similar time last year, and Damien connected with me and said, mate, do you want to come and watch some football, as in soccer? And that night that he invited me, England was playing Italy in the Euro qualifiers at Wembley. Australia was playing New Zealand in the Soccer Ashes at Brentford. And I said, how good is this? I went to a fourth round FA Cup qualifying replay between his club, Ebbsfleet United, and Slough City. And Slough City won in a thriller. in front of 700 people. But it was one of the great nights of my life.
How good is it?
It's unbelievable.
And you met him through my tipping comp, the tip bowl.
Correct, through the bowl.
Yeah. And of which you've been a very welcome and charming member for, two or three
this
years?
This is my third year in bowling.
Bowling.
Yeah, I got third one year, so I'm happy with that.
So you got a free entry into the next year. And Damien's a bowler. The tip bowl, the more you give. And it's been over 10 years now, tipping comp, and it's mainly actors and stuff all over the world. But Damo, runs Ebb's Fleet. They went up from kind of like the Wrexham story.
Exactly.
They went up from 6th to 5th, and they're holding. Did you see yesterday?
They avoided relegation.
Go Fleet.
Ted Lasso charm written all over it?
Absolutely. Okay. It's unbelievable. Like, I went in a couple of times, and shout out to Damo. He'll love this. And you go and into the VIP section, and you get your curry and rice, and there was a one man band with the foot pedal playing the covers. And then downstairs it's got media section, and it's two guys in tweed.
I met them
riding on riding in a leather book. So they're doing it all by pen. And it's like, it is so authentic, but it's walk and talk. And so I'm not a soccer guy, but it's pretty good stand.
It was thrilling. It was really, I'll
tell you what's
really
happening
good.
Now, though. He's deflecting because we're about to talk about the Tigers. So we've got to get to the nutshell. I came up with I'm upon watching a game forensically, as I said, not coronal sort of detail, but just forensically. I watched the Tigers last week when they lost to St. George, and they have inherited the wrestle. They've inherited the Cameron Smith school of nasty, ugly behaviour. And I'd never thought I'd ever say it, that they've gone from being the most lovable team in the comp, or your second favourite team, to the worst. And I'll say that until they change.
Well, the Pinot Noirs are now everyone's second favourite team because of the sacrifice they made.
The Pinot Noirs.
They're so popular, there's now former rugby fans who drink red wine who now follow the Warriors. They're the Pinot Noirs.
Right.
I maintain that this is all rubbish that you're talking about the Tigers.
Because, Cinderella goes to the ball. It's always the Tigers. Cinderella always going to the ball, She's come crashing down now.
I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah.
I do think you've got to watch it with your tips with the Warriors, though.
Yes.
Because you listen to all the experts, even though gets led by actors,
not the creatives.
But everyone wants the Warriors to win so much that they go, Warriors will win by 13. Oh, I'm on the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's there, there's an emotional, and also because who the halfback is, Sean Johnson.
Sean Johnson. He's exciting.
As reliable as buying a power tool from Aldi.
That's true, but he's got frisson.
You know what I mean? Like, you get it and you go, this should be right.
But they suffered, didn't they? They gave up.
They sacrificed during
COVID.
They didn't suffer at all. They're staying at luxury resorts without their wives and families.
They gave it up.
Everyone wants to stay in Avoca at Peppers.
Exactly.
Is it Peppers?
For 2 years.
For 2 years at Peppers? Unbelievable.
I know.
And then they were in Tamworth. That wonderful country music.
Yeah, good beef.
Separated
great beef, golden guitars,
and wine,
and great standards.
Separated from their young families, they've never slept better. They should have done way, way better.
Also, because they're in an All Blacks town, and suddenly they're in rugby league towns. But now they've gone back, and it's a rugby league town, New Zealand.
Yeah, the whole thing.
The whole thing's rugby league. Look, that coach, unbelievable human being, what he's done.
Yeah,
but I'm still not
nervous
buying shares
in the Warriors.
And watch yourself, tippers. It's coming from me, super coach leader.
Yep.
Just watch it. I don't know if, they're all that.
I thought you were bringing up the Tigers, Stephen.
Well, Benji's in trouble because he mentioned the term that we didn't get the rub of the green. That every coach has said, I didn't get the rub of the green.
It's the first crack. So Brad Schneider wearing the number 7 jersey because Nathan Cleary, the new face of Rexona, was not able to play, has ankle tapped Justin Olam as Junior Tupu is going to give him a pass to take us to a 12 zip. Not put in the bin. So Benji's just starting to show a few cracks.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing we've heard about Benji in the last week is...
Well, mate, if you live on the hill, Hunter's Hill, and a mansion with three-way views...
So this was the courting of Jerome Luai, or as Shane Richardson keeps calling him, Jerome Luai. And what Benji and Justin Pascoe did last year was leave the Zurich Centre in different cars at different times.
Okay.
Converge at Benji's mansion in Hunter's Hill.
With bodyguards?
Yes. Yeah. And invited Jerome in for sushi.
Wow.
Now, most of us, when we think
that's
sushi...
That's a pincer movement, isn't it?
It's brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
And normally we think sushi, it's a couple of foil containers.
No,
I'm assuming in a Hunter's Hill mansion, it's one of those naked bodies with the sushi on it.
Yes.
And then there was...
you remember in your olden days when you had a vodka luge, you put your mouth down to the ice and the vodka would be poured straight down into your gullet? That sort of stuff.
Stephen, the 80s.
Too political.
The 80s. They had an ice sculpture of Jerome and they get him over the line.
Ice sculpture of Jerome.
And why is this changing? Because the same thing with the Dally M leader. When has a winger ever led the Dally M, Zach Lomax?
Yes.
that he was courted by dinner at the Arthurs.
Yes.
In their Hills District home.
And we don't even know, but he said, well, meat and three potatoes.
If I'm trying to be recruited and someone says, can you meet us for a coffee? I go, I'm not interested.
No, forget it. No.
It's got to be a meal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got to be a good meal.
A good meal, yeah.
Yeah, the Arthurs brought in Providor.
Well, no wonder Wayne's Wayne's not going to go to South until they provide a really good meal at Grappa.
Yeah, standard Arthurs deal is lamb
and
chops.
And lots of snacks.
Yeah.
Lots of the
For Wayne, you're going to need twisties.
Dessert.
Twix.
Cheezels.
Limoncellos. He's not a drinker.
Gummy bears. And
not limoncellos.
Caramello koalas.
Caramello koalas. And maybe one of those blue Slurpees.
On the way out the door. See you next time,
Wayne. In a vodka luge.
Yeah, vodka. No vodka. Yeah, yeah. No vodka.
No vodka, but the Slurpee's in the luge.
No vodka.
The Slurpee's in the luge.
So what's the Tigers' year plan?
The year plan is just to keep playing.
Keep playing.
Yeah. We have a huge issue on the weekend at Campbelltown Sports Centre, and that, of course, is the Brisbane Broncos.
No,
the Brisbane Broncos.
Right.
Yeah, with Paint Haas and Reynolds coming back to an already bulging team. But we are competing right now, Brendan, and you were there when we were lucky enough to jag one win.
You've got Madge McGuire, who used to be there, who's saying that New South Wales is a tough town.
Well, can we hear that? Can we hear that from Madge?
Look, I'll be different. I'll definitely be different. And I'll keep that obviously to myself and the players. But every coach, you know, I guess it's a little bit of a reset for where we're at when you bring someone new in, that we get to make up a bit of change, and I'll definitely bring that. It's about just building the team around sort of New South Wales and the state. There's tough areas that do it tough at times, but we all galvanise together, and it's a town that you need to be tough to live in. And so I guess being able to build a team around that space is something there that I'm looking forward to.
That make any sense to you?
Yeah, well, mate, here we are in the mean streets of Surry Hills. You know what I mean? I just had a falafel and a latte. I don't know what your guys' morning's been like. Yeah. But, no, I, you know what? It feels a little bit like that restaurant that can't quite keep going, and he's that new manager. He's like, well, we're going to be doing surf and turf and everything. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're going to have a musician on Friday nights, everything. Well, come in, bring everyone.
It's kind of an 18th century view of the
get
world.
Get Damien Irvine involved. Yeah, exactly. He'll sort it out. Hunters Hill.
Well, yeah.
Come on, the mean streets.
Yeah, we've been in the Blue Mountains. I like that.
They're going to Lura, which is good. And the most important thing, apart from him perhaps confusing New South Wales between a state and a town, is he said he's recruiting not on form, not on experience, not on loyalty, but on character. And the great thing about recruiting on character, you know, the things like no dickheads, well, you can recruit dickheads. They can be a bad character.
Yeah, of course.
And they're in the mix for New South Wales. I think it's a great development.
Harvey Keitel saying Pulp Fiction, just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character.
Exactly right.
Nice line.
Mr. Fox was cleaning up the situation.
Yeah.
But you know what? I've got a good feeling about Madge. No bullshit.
Yeah, okay.
Hard line. Maybe a bit of hate. I just want hate. I mean, Nico hates.
Yeah.
I think Damien Cook hates Queensland.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Trbojevic's hate.
Yeah.
And that would be my first question. Where's your hate at?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd just be picking on hate.
Yeah, that's right.
And I don't want to play for any other country. Yeah. I don't even care if I play club again. I can break all my limbs.
Yeah.
Hate.
You reckon Gal hated, of course.
Still hates,
yeah. Yeah.
If Joey hates, Freddie hated. Freddie was one of the greatest ever Origin players. Greatest ever Origin captain. Yeah.
But if the match regime was in operation, then Radley would be playing for New South Wales.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, his itinerary's just been out, hasn't it, Radley? But he would hate.
Littrell?
Yeah, absolutely.
Enough hate, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Well, he just wants to win.
As
soon as he walks on, he wants to win. And I think in a team that's been thwarted against Queensland, if you gave him the number three jumper with that match, and
he'd destroy.
Are you saying a Nathan Cleary, Nico Hines halves ticket? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, of course I'm saying. I'd just give Nico Hines three bloody games.
Yeah.
You know?
Some certainty.
Can we talk about Freddie's one-night stands? How many one-night stands did Freddie have as a coach?
Utuakamanu, Pangai Jr.
Stefano, Pangai Jr.
Nico.
Even Cody in the third. Cody's was a nice night.
Afterthought.
But it was, no more one-night stands.
So didn't stick with them. Pick and stick.
Well, pick a team with reasons.
Mm.
You know, that he's going to do that, he's going to do that. And I believe in who they are, and they've got the necessary amount of hate, and this is the way we're going to play. And now we just keep adding to that philosophy, manifesto.
Yeah,
so now, before you pick the team, is where you do what's commonly known thinking.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Do some thinking. Now, tell you what Billy Slater does, thinking.
All the
dust
time.
The frown.
You know what I mean? That's yeah. why he's got the frown.
Yeah, of course. He's really
he's
thinking.
All, he's thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, he's at home.
More yeah. importantly, he's thinking like a horse.
Of course.
Because he says it wasn't until he started thinking like a horse that he understood rugby league.
Horses
and now
win.
Look at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at him. They win.
X-Rex owner, sports person of the
and,
year. Come on.
And, you know, that origin advice about no one-night stands could have worked well for Appy Coruscant and I think Jai Arrow because they probably didn't take that.
Look,
advice.
I'd have Hines at six and I would have Trevojevic at fullback. And I'd put Dylan Edwards on the wing.
Whoa,
and I'll put Toto on the other wing.
Teddy?
And I would have Haas and Jake Trevojevic in the front row. Appy is the hooker.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you know what?
Yeah.
In the second row, you're going to have that Ola Kawatu and Liam Martin. Then as your lock,
yeah.
Cameron Murray. And get rid of Isaiah Yeo because Cleary to Isaiah Yeo when Queensland are offside all night does not work. I can see it coming.
Yeah.
Latrell and
in
who in the centres?
Club 40, it's good because they're too fast and too fit.
Yeah.
Penrith, it works. But Yeo, I'm sorry, you're a brilliant player, but that the Penrith game doesn't work. You need spontaneous footy through the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Trevoy, when we did win with Latrell, we went right up through the middle of the ruck.
Where does Teddy land?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone.
Yeah.
You know, but you bring him in game 2-3 because someone's going to break their head.
We know he's gone because Peter Fitzsimons told him to go. And that's what all rugby league players are waiting to hear. Peter Fitzsimons telling you to go.
I'd have your Nathan Browns and stuff like that. Paseka maybe off
Paseka,
the bench.
Paseka, I think, is a good...
And then Ryan Pappenhausen.
Right.
I mean, Queensland. Think about who Queensland doesn't want to come on with 12 minutes left in the first half and it's 8-6. You know what I mean? Like, Pappenhausen coming on. He's passing and just...
Speed.
He's kind of Reece Walshy in that way of like a tiny little gap.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm leading the Super League tipping comp and that's the last thing I'll say. Thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah. Thank you, Brendan.
We haven't talked about the Dragons yet.
No, he's got to go.
Are they going to win on Thursday?
Of course they will.
Okay.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!